Welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, the show designed to help make middle age your prime time of life by defying the notion that once you reach 40, 50, or even 60 years old, your crowning achievements are all behind you. Regardless of whether you're just approaching 40 or are firmly entrenched in your middle years, it's time to launch your very own personal journey toward a joyful and purpose-filled second half of life. Each week, host Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, will discuss the challenges common to middle age and help guide you to a brighter tomorrow. Now, here's Roy.
Well, it's January, the time of year when many of us begin planning and budgeting for the upcoming year, and a constant source of concern for many is how much to set aside for retirement and how should you invest your nest egg. And as we progress through our 40s, 50s, and even early 60s, retirement, which once seemed so far away, factors in more and more to our thinking. And as all too many of us are aware, preparing for retirement can be overwhelming. Good Lord, none of us want to outlive our retirement nest egg and to spend our golden years on welfare, struggling to survive. And for certain, when you're 75, you don't want to be working long hours and an uninspiring job simply to pay the bills. That's nothing to be doing in your golden years. But there is another side to retirement planning. The title of this program, as you know, is Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, and that means you don't want to sacrifice and slave just to set aside so much for retirement that you no longer enjoy your life today. On his website, my next guest, Roger Whitney, sums it all up succinctly. Save too little and your retirement lifestyle might not be what you want it to be. Save too much and you might sacrifice the life you live right now. And that's sage advice. You don't need an excessively large nest egg for when you're old and gray, perhaps too frail, unhealthy, and tired to enjoy it. And at age 85, when you look back on your life, will you wonder why you sacrificed so much for so little through all those potentially wonderful middle years? And as regular listeners know, our program goal is to invite guests who hit the nail on the head in offering solutions to common midlife challenges. And my guest today is one of those. He's Roger Whitney, the retirement answer man. And as you'll soon learn, Roger's sage advice goes far beyond that offered by your typical financial planner. And Roger Whitney has spent 24 years helping countless people plan well and invest wisely for retirement. His stated goal is living well today without sacrificing your tomorrow. In 2003, he left the then largest in the world private bank to found with two partners WWK Wealth Advisors, and today they're a firm of 14 professionals managing over $300 million in assets, and he has his own highly popular blogs, podcasts, and website offering sound advice on retirement for those of us at middle age. Hello, Roger, and welcome. It's a great time to talk about middle-age retirement planning.
Well, howdy from Texas. Howdy, glad to be here.
Howdy down there in Cowtown. Well, please begin with the standard financial advisor disclaimer. Obviously, Roger doesn't know you personally, and so his suggestions are general in nature.
Definitely. Don't take advice from people don't know you. That's a good, not just disclaimer, but just sound advice for anybody, really,
yes,
right?
Yes, it certainly is, especially these people that call you up or contact you on the internet and tell you what to do.
Oh, yeah. Everybody has ideas. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the negative. In your 24 years of retirement counseling, I'm sure you've seen it all. And what are some of the most common mistakes that couples make to screw up their retirement?
Well, not living intentionally about it. And it's, you know, in our early years, yeah, Everything has a season. I mean, when you're in your 20s and 20s, you're just getting your life set. So
yeah,
you're used to, you know, you're setting up your household and you're doing your career and you're having
your babies.
Exactly. And then the 30s are paying for those babies and setting up house
and then the 40s are them.
Yeah, and the 40s are getting them hopefully out the door independent and mature. That's where I'm at. I'm 47, yeah, and I have a 17 and 18-year-old.
Oh, wow.
So it's very easy to just not even, retirement is such a weird concept.
Yes, it is.
Till you get to, you know, 47 to 50, and then it starts to feel a little bit more real, and that's the time when your attention usually turns to it. So
yeah.
I guess the biggest mistake is just not thinking intentionally about your financial life earlier than most of us do.
Yeah, that's it's also, I think one of the biggest mistakes is not deciding in advance, really forgetting the finance. What do you really want out of your retirement? Because it's so difficult to try to plan a trip or a journey to retirement if you don't know where your intended destination is.
Yeah, and I think when you're, especially when you're younger, or if retirement doesn't mean anything to you, a great thing you can do is just focus on making smart financial decisions to build up your financial resources without having a goal attached to it. As long as you can at least do that and try to make smart choices, then you can figure out the goal part later on if there's nothing that's really in focus for you.
Yeah, you don't really have to set all your retirement goals when you're 45 or something.
Well, yeah, and bluntly, they're going to change a million times anyway.
Yes,
I mean,
that's right.
Your life and priorities change. So
yeah.
I almost don't like the word goals for retirement and financial matters, because the hard part with goals is we start to think that if I set a goal, I have to achieve it. Otherwise,
yes, that's true. So many goals get set in stone, and which is ridiculous
because life
circumstances
is much more
change and life changes.
Exactly.
Well, I've seen recent articles that contend that many retirees can live comfortably on less than the standard financial planning industry rule of thumb. That's 75 to 85% of pre-retirement income is what you need. And what do you counsel your clients as to how much cash flow they will need?
Well, to be honest, I try not to use rule of thumbs because everyone is different.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I hate rule of thumbs that try to apply to everybody.
And so a good example, you can have two people that are the same age and have the exact same financials on paper, but their solution is going to be drastically different based on what they value most. One might like champagne and caviar, and the other one likes, you know, the Cracker Barrel, and they're going to... Both of those are going to have very different solutions based on...
One may want to travel all around the world. The other one might want to stay at home and be with the grandkids.
Well, exactly. And so the solution is going to be very different. So that's why I think values-based planning that focuses on helping the client define that dream, what that dream is so important, because that will help you make much smarter financial decisions.
Yes, and also the amount of money you need to set aside in advance depends a lot, I think, on as you get closer to retirement, on whether you're still energetic and you love your career and what you're doing. You may want to work full or part-time beyond the, quote, normal retirement age. And obviously, if you're going to have income coming in longer than other people are that retire right at 65 or even 62 or whatever, then that would be a factor as well. And
that's a very good point. In fact, the book that I'm hoping to have done this year is one of I'm not going to call it a resolution, it's a goal. The working title is Screw Retirement.
I love that title, because that's pretty much how I look at life. And what, you know, we always say on this program, middle age is around 40 to question mark.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true. So the old, you know, the way that retirement is thought of and talked about, especially in the financial industry, it's changing a lot.
Yeah.
So I think...
I know, I think you pointed out somewhere that, years ago, everyone just automatically retired and was tired around 65, and they usually died 2 or 3 years, 4 or 5 years later.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't work anymore.
Yeah. Well, as you point out, dissolving a marriage can cause financial ruin and contribute to poor health, even lead to mental breakdown. And one of the major causes of breakup, as we all know, is disagreement over finances, and that may include when and how to retire. How best can we, as you call it, invest in our marriages now so that we can avoid irreconcilable differences later?
Now, and that's a really good question. And I'm not going to say that I have the perfect answer to it, but I'll tell you, how I think of it.
Yeah.
Investing in your marriage is, and investing in your health are both probably the best investments you can make, beyond any mutual fund or stock. And for, in terms of making sure that you are in tune with your spouse, I function with my wife, and we've been married almost 25 years, not having any big conversations.
Yeah.
I'm pretty pragmatic about it. And what I mean by that is if I can have lots of little conversations about the things that are matter, the things that we're thinking about in each of our lives, we can make sure we're in tune.
Yeah,
so
communication is such a key in a successful marriage, isn't it? You don't build up and fester and blow-ups occur.
And that's how it works, because we all live our own life in our heads that's outside of the other one. And if you don't, the classic example is a couple that would just say they have said that they want to live in the same house until they die, but when the first child moves away to another state and they have a grandbaby, a lot of times you see one of the parents has to be near that grandbaby and start to, make the assumption they're going to move without talking to the other one. And it's just, common sense. A lot of things are common sense. They're just hard to do consistently.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest dangers in a retirement planning is that one partner maybe is responsible for the finances and kind of designs retirement around what he or she wants to do without really consulting their partner and sharing in the decision making.
Yeah.
And I would think that could lead to some real problems.
Well, and I can give you a perfect, very personal example of that is, so my daughter is the last one in the house and she'll be out of the house probably in about a year or so.
Yeah.
And I talked to my wife about, what the next 20 years are going to look like. And I'm like, we need to sell our house, and I want to move downtown and live in a condo because Fort Worth is a beautiful downtown.
Yes, it is.
And she has no interest whatsoever. She never wants to sell the house. So we have this ongoing discussion right now when they're just sort of dreams and aspirations.
Well, you can have two. You can have a place downtown and keep your house.
I need to make a lot more money for that. But, but we're having these discussions, and we're doing it when it's a small discussion because it's off in the future. So we don't.
Yeah.
It's not like we have to make immediate decisions. So it allows us to understand where the other person's coming from, which will help us ultimately find whatever works best for both of us.
Yes, that's exactly. I love that little conversations, as you put it, rather than the big blow-up conversations.
Oh, I hate those conversations.
Yeah. Well, let's say you and your spouse are both 50 years old, and up to now you haven't really done any retirement planning, and both of you would like to retire at 62, but say due to a recent unemployment or a health issue that's eaten into your savings so that very little is set aside right now, and like you say, preparing for retirement can be overwhelming. Where do you start when you say you're in your early 50s and have maybe 12 or 13, 15 years left before you want to retire and you're looking at 20 to 30 years, hopefully?
Well, it can be a very scary proposition because life happens to us in bad ways and lots of different ways, and we can't predict that.
Yeah.
But the place that you always start is to figure out, okay, exactly, and I do it the same way every time, and it's very much how a business would operate, which is, okay, what is it we really want to accomplish here, and really get into a dream stage of what is our aspirations?
Yeah, visualize that too, and put meat on the bones and really visualize what you and your spouse want in those retirement years, because now you're getting near enough they make sense to start planning for them.
Right, and regardless of where you're at, whether you've been unemployed and you've had to go through your savings, or maybe you weren't very disciplined and you have more debt than you should have, regardless of where you're at, you have to go through, once you realize that you have to deal with the changes, it's almost like a grieving process, and you have to go through forgiving yourself for whatever situation you're in and not beating yourself up about it.
Yeah, it makes absolutely no sense to blame yourself for the past because that accomplishes absolutely nothing.
But that's really hard to do, isn't it? I mean, it was hard for me. It's very hard to forgive yourself, and you can get caught up in focusing on what just happened rather than, okay, what do I do now?
The only if only I hadn't done this, or if only I'd done this instead of that.
Trust me, I've gone through those discussions in my head countless times. And So once you go through that, then it's okay. Where am I at? You know, what is my cash flow look like? What is my balance sheet? And then what things can I do to change that?
I love your suggestion that basically you should treat your personal finances much like a business. And obviously you have to in terms of the cash flow and the balance sheet. The one side has to balance the other in the balance sheet. And the you have to know, you know, how your expenses are going to be paid for and what you have coming in or will have coming in.
Yeah. And I'm a big fan of having a net worth statement that you keep track of systematically. And I'll tell you, probably 90% of the people, if not more, don't or have never done that for a statement.
Right. It's so important that you keep track of how you're moving.
Well, and
year
it's not
to year, only, even month to month, quarter to quarter, or whatever. But
yeah, and it's not only keeping track, but the other part that I think is important, and it can feel a little damning, to be honest with you, is your net worth statement over time really tells you what you value.
Yeah, that's
true. It will be a reflection of what your priorities are. So it can help identify the disconnect of what you say your priorities are and what actually are.
Yeah,
you know,
that's very true.
Lots of, if you say you want to be conservative and you want to be prudent, but you have a lot of, you have, you know, and you're not a fancy person, but then you have lots of, you know, car debt and credit card debt, there's a disconnect there, and a lot of people will ignore it, but if you want to be intentional about how you plan, it'll cause you to have to reconcile. Hey, I say I'm this way, but when I look at my balance sheet, it doesn't reflect what I say my values are, and that can really help people if they're ready for that conversation.
Yes, that's very true. And also looking at your expenses, you know, when you divide them into essential expenses that you're going to be stuck with, your mortgage, obviously, unless you move, or your rent, or, you know, car payment or whatever debt payment you have. And then your those expenses you have that are discretionary but not luxurious, and then really the icing on the cake, you know, if you divide those expenses up, I think it really helps to decide what's really important and what's not.
Yeah, I always call it, I call it needs, wants, and wishes.
Well, how old is too old to begin saving and investing for retirement? If you have nothing set aside at age 57, is your situation hopeless or?
Well, it's not hopeless, but it little bits can help. So if you're in your mid late 50s and you really feel like you have nothing to go for, now obviously you're not going to be able to save a huge enough, unless you have a super high income, you're not going to be able to save enough to quote unquote retire just on your savings.
Yeah.
But what you can do is you still have a lot of levers that you can use in your life. One would be changing how you live from a cash flow perspective, and whether that's, you know, lowering your expenses and working on how ways that you can increase your income, whether it's through training, whether it's, you know, side work, whether it's starting a small business. There's lots of little things you can do there.
Maybe rental properties are, you know, a possibility, I guess, if you can afford
them. The key is just going through the process to figure out how to make the smartest decisions regardless of what situation you're in, and then you do what you can do.
Yeah. No, that's very true, and avoiding the decision and not facing up to it, whether you're 57 or 63 or whatever, doesn't accomplish anything, obviously, other than extreme stress when you do have to retire.
Yeah, I heard a really good quick story that I think will illustrate this point. In Colorado, when a storm comes in over the Rockies from the west, you have, you know, buffalo and cows that, you know, graze in the pastures. What a cow will do is a cow will start running east to try to get away from the coming storm. Well, that doesn't work, right? A cow's not fast enough to run out of
from
the storm. And then, well, actually, the cow will end up being in the storm longer because it's trying to run away from it.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's how a lot of people are when they feel like there's some big storm on the horizon financially, is they just either ignore it or run away from it.
Yeah.
But a bison or a buffalo, they do the exact opposite. They run west. They run into the storm.
Okay.
They attack it head on.
Yeah,
and what ends up happening is that they get through it a lot faster because they addressed it.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean they don't.
I guess we all need to be buffaloes then, don't we?
That's right. So that's the, I guess that's the theme for today. Let's all be bison.
Yeah. Well, in a recent podcast, you suggest beginning retirement planning by dreaming up your ideal retirement. In fact, you mentioned that earlier today, but please explain this process. Why does it make sense to list all your retirement dreams, some of them that may be totally unrealistic, before you crunch the numbers? Doesn't it just depress you once you face financial reality and see what you can't do?
Well, I guess it could. Well, I think a lot of people they think too conservatively when they're planning their retirement goals. And yeah, I guess you could get depressed because if you dream too big, you probably won't achieve those. But what I find is a lot of clients think way too conservatively. And it's a sad thing that if there's a chance you might be able to accomplish as much as you want. I mean, it's not very often, but it's a possibility. So what I recommend is to really dream big before we get into the numbers. And I liken it to a negotiation, right? If you're going to go into a negotiation, you want to know two things. You want to know is, what is the absolute best deal I can get? If I could get everything, what does that look like?
Yeah.
And then
right.
What's the minimum I have to have?
Yeah, that's true. And the wonderful thing is, if you start out with the ideals and then you crunch the numbers and then you make those tough decisions yourself based on what's realistic, then what you end up with is your own plan and your own objectives in life, something you're comfortable with and something you can shoot for. And that's so much easier in planning retirement and in making preparations for retirement if you know exactly, you know, you're in control and this is what you want to do, and you're in control, not somebody else is not controlling your destiny.
Yeah, and then once you start, and interesting, if you shoot big and you have a lot of goals and it's clear that you can't achieve them once you crunch the numbers, it's really still a good process, because then what you have to do is you actually have to start prioritizing which ones you're willing to give away.
Yeah.
So that really helps you figure out which ones you actually care about a lot.
Yeah, that's very true, too. And it's your decision and your spouse, you know, working together. It's not somebody else forcing something on you.
Exactly.
Well, in closing, I'd like to highly recommend Roger Whitney's recent series of podcasts, which I discovered last night, actually. And it's called A Virtual Retirement Planning Event, entitled Can Carl Retire? And Carl is not an actual client, but he's somebody that contacted Roger through his website. And it's really a fascinating. Roger gathers facts and counsels a real-life person whom he's not previously met. And it's a series of podcasts beginning with, like we talked about, dreams for an ideal retirement, followed by a step-by-step analysis of when Carl can retire, assets and cash flow that they can expect, and what they can afford. And Roger also offers resources so you can plan for retirement right along with Carl. And it's a series of podcasts that actually began back on January 7th, but you can still participate. Please tell us how we can access the that podcast and that information.
Yeah, if you go to rogerwhitney.com/RPL, that will give you the full schedule, and you can sign up for it right there, and you'll start to receive the emails whenever you come in. And then we'll have a live webinar on the 30th where I'll present Carl's retirement plan, and you'll be able to watch it, and he hasn't even seen it yet. And then if you're coming in the middle of it, if you shoot me a quick email, I can get you all the resources and you can listen to the past podcast episodes that are on rogerwhitney.com, and then you can plan alongside Carl and start to put some of these steps together. And each week I send a worksheet that summarizes what Carl's plan is, and then I send you a blank worksheet to work on your own.
Yeah,
and then I record
great.
A little video for each one that gives you a couple tips on how to complete that so you can follow along the process.
Boy, that sounds like a wonderful resource, and certainly anyone that's in the latter stages or even preliminary stages of planning their retirement would be well worth doing that. And for those that want more comprehensive advice, you also offer paid retirement planning services through your firm there. You have a Retire Well program and a Retirement Answer program. And how does somebody access those?
Well, really, what you, the first step is just one. There's lots of free resources at RogerWhitney.com, and it's all about how to retire, how to find your ideal retirement. But if anybody wants to discuss working with me directly or with somebody at my firm, you can email me at roger@wwkllc.com, and then we can just have a conversation. And if we're not a right fit, I can easily direct you to a resource that might be.
Oh, that's great. And I think on your website you mentioned a free 20-minute strategy call. That I guess that's what you're talking about, to see whether...
I'm right willing to, you know, talk with anybody for 20 minutes and help guide them any way I can.
Yeah, that's great. Well, in conclusion, approach the wrong way, planning and financing a comfortable retirement can be stressful, confusing, and disconcerting, even lead to major family squabbles. But handled properly, it can be a positive effort of sensible planning and joyful expectation. And as we have often emphasized on this program, you should view the next stage not simply as retiring from your present job, but also moving forward to a joyful and productive next stage of life. And always remember, you're retiring from a job, not from life. And I highly recommend you visit Roger Whitney's series of podcasts and virtually plan your retirement along with Carl. And you'll sleep better at night once you complete it. And you'll see those areas where you need that need your attention. And thank you so much, Roger, and best of success in the new year with your firm and with your podcast and all your other wonderful activities to help us plan for retirement.
Well, thanks so much, Roy. Thanks for having me on. It was fun.
And best of luck to you and all your listeners out there for a great 2015. I want to follow up on the comments of our esteemed guest, Roger Whitney, and talk specifically to you baby boomers. Those of you in your 40s are welcome to listen in, and you should begin, if you haven't already, building your nest egg for retirement. But detailed planning about how you're going to spend your retirement years can wait a while. You have plenty of time, and after all, circumstances change over the years. You may have a totally different outlook 10 years from now than you do now. But right now, baby boomers, let's talk. As you know, the baby boomer generation is generally defined as people born between 1946 and 1964. And the advanced guard, those of the oldest of you, are now in your late 60s and may already be retired. But there's no harm in prioritizing the rest of your golden years. And the youngest of you hit the half-century mark last year, and it's hard to believe, but there are no more baby boomers under age 50. Now that you're in your 50s and 60s, it's time to begin serious contemplation and discussion of your next stage of life, how you're going to spend the rest of that your golden years. And Roger Whitney adroitly covered the financial aspects of retirement, but over the next few minutes, let's focus on deciding how you want to spend the 20 to 30 years of your golden years after you retire. And retirement is probably the most critical transition from middle age to maturity, and studies demonstrate that many retirees become frustrated and bitter because they fail to anticipate and map out critical dimensions of their post-retirement experience. Even with complete financial security, certain retirees rapidly lose focus, pride of accomplishment, and their former sense of well-being. Especially vulnerable are those foolish individuals who gave everything to their careers and blindly equated their job titles and their earnings statements with their self-worth. And absent accustomed workplace routines and the perks of employment, will you no longer be able to believe that you matter in life? Will you have no clue as to how to best dedicate your idle hours after you retire? Sadly, far too many disgruntled retirees take personal boredom and frustration out on spouse and family members. You certainly don't want to do that. Other forlorn retirees pass away maybe only months or years after leaving a cherished lifelong vocation. And still others cling to work even though they're tired and they could be enjoying life much more, but they just hang on to work, not because they have to financially, because they really don't know what else to do. In order to avoid any of these very unattractive options, and a heavy dose of post-retirement depression, I recommend that you approach retirement in the same manner that you would plan for a radical career transition. Your initial task is to target an ideal post-retirement vocation. And when I say vocation, I use that in a broad sense, being one's primary daily activity, and that daily activity need not always generate income, as we know. What oft-postponed lifelong goals might you strive to accomplish upon retirement? Have you discussed retirement options with your spouse? That's so important. And so long as both of you remain healthy with adequate funding, you and your spouse are presented with the extraordinary range of intriguing post-retirement possibilities, and the final choice will be entirely up to the two of you. You know, for so many years, as we've discussed on past programs, someone else really called the shots, your employer, your kids, their needs while you were raising them. But now the decision is totally up to you. And after thoughtfully prioritizing your remaining lifelong objectives, the next essential step is to map out your retirement finances, which, of course, Roger Whitney talked about, including contingency plans for unexpected health or long-term care emergencies. And similar to planning for a career transition, you may need to bend and adopt your ideal retirement vision to fit your anticipated financial resources. If necessary, you may wish to consider part-time employment, but only during hours of choice and only performing tasks which you enjoy and admire. I don't want anyone slaving to make a living at 75 doing some menial task you don't enjoy just to pay the bills. That's something we all need to avoid. As a final step, I suggest you begin to plan implementation long before the actual date of retirement. Once a sound strategy is firmly in place, you can approach that pending retirement with calm anticipation, and launching successful retirement can be every bit as fulfilling as initiating a promising new business venture or starting that dream job that you sought so hard to obtain. So long as you and your spouse remain healthy and active, retirement may prove to be the most rewarding interval of your entire adult lives, and I've known so many people who affirm that. The two of you have earned a permanent respite from the mundane daily challenges of raising a family and earning a living. Presumably, you have prepared financially and emotionally. You are in the same enviable position, think of this, as a wealthy heir or a multi-million-dollar lottery winner, because the choice is now up to you. If you've got retirement funding coming in, Social Security, and your own financial planning for sources of income, you're in a wonderful position for the rest of your life. And finances are no longer your concern, so what do you really want to do with the rest of your life? Retirement may represent your first opportunity in years to broaden personal horizons and to volunteer to serve others and accept new challenges strictly for the fun of it. At long last, you'll have the opportunity to dedicate sufficient time and attention to those hobbies and avocations and causes you most admire, and to give time and energy back to God, your family, and the community. Promise yourself that retirement will, after retirement, you'll continue to believe that you are a person and to behave like you're a person that truly can make a difference. Pledge to yourself each morning that you will accomplish at least one pet project or lighten the load for at least one other person during the day, maybe even as babysitting for the grandkids. As a relaxed, adventuresome, and fun-loving retiree, you will draw positive, like-minded individuals to you like a magnet, and I promise you that you will have more than enough to do. And my last piece of advice, ease yourself mentally into retirement. There's nothing more foolish than grinding full speed ahead on projects at the office one day and sitting home stunned, not knowing where to begin on the next. Travel is a wonderful potential dimension of retirement. And next week, I'll have an expert on, an ultra-economical travel expert. You may be able to afford far more travel than you think you can, but even travel to exotic locations will grow old without a specific purpose in your life. You want to be traveling for a reason, not just to travel. And don't get me wrong, a major portion of that purpose in life may be pursuit of hobbies and recreation things you have longed to do and have been putting off for years, maybe cruising, maybe getting your own boat and sailing, I don't know. But if you're married, make certain that the two of you plan retirement together. It's no good if one spouse is having a jolly old time, like golfing every day or doing their pursuits, and the other spouse is struggling emotionally. We cover retirement planning and a whole lot of other midlife transitions and how to plan for them in my book, A Midlife Challenge Wake Up by Roy C. Richards, and check us out on Amazon or on our website, www.middleagerenewal.com. And now, retired, near retirement, or still growing your business or climbing in the corporate ladder, let's go out and challenge the day and have a joyful time at it. And we'll talk to you all again next week on Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
You've been listening to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, hosted by Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of both A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, and Wake Up, Captain and Crew, Restart Your Engines. You can learn more about Roy and his Middle Age Renewal Training System by visiting his website, middleagerenewal.com.